on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday, October 27th edition of InvestTalk. I thank you for being with us. If you're interested in investing, has just come recently, you'd be thinking that investing is investing. It's buying mutual funds or individual stocks, checking fund ratings, and reading about individual companies, evaluating their strengths, and buying and selling accordingly. Now, that's the broadest possible definition, but when you look at the different aspects of the investing universe, you can come to realize that there are different approaches, particularly many different strategies that an individual can employ, that anybody can use. Now, in my market commentary today on investtalk.com, I talked about the difference between investing and trading. Investing is a long-term proposition, and for most participants in the stock market, it offers the best results for the investor. The emphasis has to be on long-term, as anyone paying attention to the market in 2015, you will discover three-quarters of the year so far, the market is down. Now, we just recently had a little up for the year in certain indexes, not for the Dow. The S&P is down now. Let's see. So most of this year has not been a very good year, even after the recent run-up that we just had. Remember, we had that big run down in August, so it still hasn't recovered all that run-up. Anyways, so if you look, you know, investing is all about long-term. It refers to years, not weeks, not months, not quarters, or even a year or two necessarily. Years. The requirement of being patient at times smacks in the face of our habit now and immediate society. Precisely the reason that trading stocks as a means to wealth is popular. Trade them. Write them up and sell them high. Buy them low. Write them up. Trading. I got to have it now. I want to make money now. That mentality is a dangerous one. And there's lots of companies out there that try to take advantage of that. Trading systems and charting systems and different kinds of schemes. And frankly, almost all of them don't work. Think about it. If someone's trying to sell you a scheme that you would work when you buy this and sell it here, I don't care if it's options, stocks, I don't care what it is. If it's so good, why are they selling it to you? Why don't they use it, implement it, and make billions of dollars instead of making their money by selling it to you? They're not very good. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have some kind of idea of, you know, technical and fundamental analysis and use it. It's just don't think it's going to get rich quick. It does not happen. Now, recently, regulators are looking at that high-frequency trading stuff that people call me and email me about. Okay, that's an area where computers trade against other computers in fractions of a second. You can't compete in that area. You and I, don't even think about it. It's not going to happen. They have all these algorithms, and they trade, and they can drive stocks up and down. This is not for you and me. We, you know, whatever they do in the short term, let them do in the short term. The takeaway message here is the market is not a place to get rich quick, but it is a very good place to get rich slowly. You can do it. Now, maybe you'd like to share your investing experiences. We're ready for your call. Of course, we're going to bring our questions to you, and we want to hear whatever is on your mind financially. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. So let's take this question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. Great show. I listen to you every day from New York via podcast. I have a question regarding when older individuals should stop funding Roth 401ks and switch the contributions to regular 401ks. My wife and I are in our early 60s and have both been funding our respective 401ks with 50% Roth and 50% regular 401k. However, our circumstances might be a little different. Our 401k retirement balances are large, and we would not need to take large required minimum distributions at 70 and a half. So I guess the best way to ask you the question is, are there circumstances where older individuals would want to continue making 401k Roth contributions much later into their careers? Thanks a lot. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Well, yeah, and you probably hit on the one reason why you would, and that is that required minimum distribution at age 70 and a half. If you have a lot of money in your IRAs, Roth and regular IRAs, in your regular IRAs at age 70 and a half, they're going to force you to take money based on how much money you have and life expectancies, and you're going to have to pay income tax on that money. So you might want to contribute more to your Roth and less to your regular IRA because you don't have to take distributions out of Roth and there's no taxes owed. On the flip side of that, whatever you put in a Roth 401k, you don't get to deduct from your income taxes the year that you contribute it. So therefore, you don't get the tax write-off now. So this is a conundrum. What should you do? How should you do this? And you know what it is? It's really a conversation about your preferences based on your income, based on how much of this money you're going to need in retirement, if any, and what your current tax situation is. So it's not an easy question to answer without a bunch of more information, but you got to think in terms of tax deduction now versus paying no income tax later. The thought is when you start taking required minimum distributions that you'll be making less money, therefore you'll be in a lower tax bracket. Therefore, maybe you should put more into 401k, regular 401k now because you might be in a high tax bracket. That kind of thing. Good question, though. There's an indicator that some say is telling us to not bail out of the market too soon. Is the data telling us to stay? That's going to be one of our talking points today. The Dow transports. I want to talk about the Dow theory a little bit today. And for those who don't know what the Dow theory is, it is actually a trading system that's been around for 100 years. So I want to talk about that in conjunction with the Dow transports. While Apple could provide a robust outlook for the holiday quarter, they reported in earnings after the hours. I want to talk about Apple. You know why I want to talk about Apple? Do you realize that 90% of the S&P 500 profits for this quarter are projected to be Apple computers profits all by itself? So all the 500 companies, one company is going to make 90% of the profits. That's Apple. So I think it's a very important stock and that we should talk about Apple. The reason Shell Revolution isn't dead yet. This is a very enlightening article I read about shale oil production. I think you'll be surprised about it. We all know that the rig counts for drilling and finding new oil is way, way down from a year, 2 years ago. Way down. I mean, 70, 80% down. But what has that done to the shale production? Very interesting article. I'm going to share that. And I do have a caller I need to talk who had a general question today from Jacqueline. So I will be talking about her question. And she wanted to talk about ETFs. So those are things we're going to discuss. And of course, what's on your mind comes first, much more important than whatever I want to talk about. The market was down again today, so this has been 2 days of down, the Dow down 42, the S&P down 5, the NASDAQ down 5. But the down strokes for the last 2 days have been pretty mild compared to the up strokes we've had in the last 10, 15 days. So these two down strokes, I don't know if they mean a lot. And this week, remember, there's a Federal Reserve meeting this week, so the market kind of tends to like to wait to see what they say, even though I do not expect them to say anything different than they said last time. Rates are not going to be, they're not going to raise the rates. Try to remember, they don't control the rates. They only control one rate, and that's the Fed fund rate. And so that's where the money, the banks pay the Federal Reserve to borrow money, and it's between 0 and 0.25 or something like that. Very, very, money's free, basically. But they don't control the rates that you and I borrow money from the banks or a corporation borrows money from the bank. The Fed has nothing to do with that. But since the banks are getting their money for free right now, they pass along that savings to you by lowering their rates as low as they think they can get away with. They like to make money, of course. So if the Fed starts raising rates, the banks raise their rates because they want to keep that same profit margin. So that's how the Federal Reserve kind of influences rate, but it doesn't control the rates. Doesn't control, but it certainly can make very big influences on interest rates, and that's what they do. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. It may be time for a review of your retirement accounts. Remember, there are alternatives to what you're doing now. My San Jose meeting this month is full up, I'm sorry, but we will have a new December date. I'll be in the San Diego County at our La Jolla satellite office on December 2nd. You can reserve a time if you want, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Jackie. I'm a podcast listener. I'm a big fan of your show. I'm a relatively new investor, and I own two brokerage accounts. One is with Fidelity, that's my 401k, and the other is with Merrill Lynch. And I've noticed that their information about individual stocks tend to differ on the two sites. I was just wondering, how do you calculate the P/E ratio? Is it just the current price divided by the 2015 earning per share estimate? And I wonder how much weight you should place on the 2016 earning, because it's just an estimate.
Okay, that's a very good question. There are many ways to calculate PE. So let's talk about the most common. One is last year's earnings per share versus the current stock price. That's the trailing PE. Or you can have the trailing 12 months, which means month after month after month. So the most recent month, going back 12 months, earnings into the price of the stock. So you can get that trailing month PE, 12 months PE. But the one that most investors use, and you should use, is the earnings per share for the next 12 months and divide that into the current price. And that's the forward PE. Always use the forward PE. Why? Because investors always invest in the windshield looking forward. They don't invest looking in the rearview mirror. That's in the past. That's done. We don't care what that is. We always care about what the companies are going to do. Yes, it's an estimate. Yes, it's going to be wrong, but it's the best we have. So you always want to look at earnings per share for the next year, 2016, 2017, depending on the fiscal year of the company. So you want to look forward, never backward, forward. So you take the earnings per share estimates for the next 12 months and divide that into the price of stock and get the PE ratio that way. That's what you use. Very good question, though, because a lot of people don't understand, because different websites report it differently. And they can't figure, well, this website says this and this one says this. Which one's right? Well, what kind of PE? Remember, it's an estimate. So even the forward PE, you can go from one brokerage firm to another and they have a different estimate of the earnings for next year. So you never, ever, ever are sure of anything. Never. And remember, experts are always wrong. It's how much they're wrong. And many times they're wrong big time. So not necessarily wrong on the downside, but wrong on the upside as well. Our InvestTalk number is 888-99-CHART. You can join us right now. I'd love to talk with you. This is InvestTalk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Don't get a money market fund confused with a money market account. They have some meaningful differences. The case for the money market fund. That's one of our talking points for Wednesday's podcast. We hope you'll be listening then.
888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. So there is an there's a lot of conflict going on here. There's one indicator that says you don't bail out of markets too soon. And that's the breadth indicator, the breadth. We've had, the market that ran up from the double bottom late in September all the way up through October, she was showing us that the breadth of the market was pretty wide. And that is an indicator that that means don't sell now. Don't get out now. Now, the last couple of days, we see that breadth indicator turning downward. So we'll have to see what, see if that's going to continue. But the breadth of the indicator is talking about the overall number of stocks moving up. Because remember, there's some big stocks like Apple and a few others can drive the whole market up or down. It looks like the whole market is going up or down, and it may be only a very narrow sliver of big stocks. So you got to take a little bit deeper look, and that's what a breadth indicator does. It tries to, if there's like, I think the indicator was 1.86 times, which is 1.86, like 86% more stocks over the whole market are going up. Okay, on the New York Stock Exchange. So the Vanchers swamping decliners. The breadth stampede, it's called. When it's above 1.85, it's pretty rare. And that's a very high reading. And that usually tells you it's not, the bull phase is not over. Now, don't ever think that you can use these things. Notice that almost all these indicators, all of them look backwards. So when you look backwards, it's hard to say, well, is that going to continue to be true? And you can only put your best estimate, guesstimate on that. You never know for sure. But, everybody's looking, and since everybody is looking at all these indicators, they tend to make them less valuable. So what you have to do is look at all the indicators and make your best judgment at what's going on. There's an old saying, the trend is your friend. Have we turned the trend up yet? Are we still in a downward trend? Because we've been in one for ever since, I'm going to have to say, since May 22nd or so. If you look at the trend from May 22nd at the S&P 500, you'll have to say that it looks like it's been down because you've had lower highs since then. And you still don't have a higher high since then. So then you had that big collapse in August and just a fury, 4 or 5 days, 13, 14% or so, really big collapse in a short period of time. And now you have this little run up, but it's not even up to where it was. So, can you still say that the market's an overall downward trend, even though the breadth indicator is kind of hinting that we might have a run? Rally. And of course, we know year-end rally is common. Year-end rally is common in the market. And we're coming up end of October, beginning of November. So does that all you take and you say, okay, there we go. Well, maybe we should talk about the Dow theory. We'll talk about that after the break. We're here for you. Beginner experience questions, 888-99-CHART. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Here's a voicemail question.
Hi, Steve. My name is Rob. I'm calling from Atlanta. I have a general question about the ProShares UltraVIX short-term future. The symbol is UVXY. I notice this stock has been continuously always going down, and it gets to the point and then does a reverse split and continuously going down and further down. Like, I believe this stock was over $20,000 in 2011. And today, the trading at $29, which eventually is going to get to the point that it's going to go into the single digit and eventually a reverse split. Why one would not want to short this stock? Would you please comment on this? Thank you.
Okay, this is the ultra short VIX, volatility index, exchange traded fund seeking results to twice the performance of the S&P VIX short-term futures index. Okay, now this means if you take a look at the volatility index and compare it, you'll find that these things don't really, it's close but not very close, and they're very difficult to trade. And he's saying that this thing has been going down in general more than the regular VIX is going down. And why shouldn't someone short this short? Meaning that you think it's going to continue to go down. Remember, it's already a short. It gets short means it's already predicted that it's going down. Well, first you have to understand the VIX, the volatility index. It is it is a relationship between put and calls of options. And it's called the fear index. And the regular VIX spikes up when everybody gets very scared in the market. And it goes down when everybody calms down. Well, this is ultra, meaning it does twice the performance, and there's a big tracking error in these things. And could you short it? Sure, you can. Short the short. But I'd stay away from these, personally. I also don't think they work very good. So trying to manage, trying to take advantage of it, it's just very difficult. We've reached a halfway mark in the hour. Why don't you help? You help in the next half hour by calling, asking your questions. You can get through by that phone right now. If you're a podcast listener, you can call anytime you want. 888-99-CHARGE.
Talk continues. There are many chart patterns that investors and traders use to identify likely moves in the market, and Steve has a whole list of them for you. But for InvestTalk Insiders, sign up right now. It's free on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. We'll talk to Art in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask you about Walmart,
yes.
WMT.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about buying some. I'm thinking it's probably dropped as much as it's going to drop, it seems like, because I've been watching it the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I don't see it dropping too much further.
I think it's getting very...
I just wanted to find out... Pardon me?
I think it's getting very close also. I think it's very close to the bottom. It's going to buy... You know, they announced in this month that they're going to buy $20 billion worth of their stock outstanding. That's over 10% of the stock they're going to repurchase. And this is all about their earnings are being reduced for the future because they're going to invest a lot of money in stores and their online services. And meanwhile, the PE is dropping in the five-year range is 11 to 18, and the PE is right now 12. Right, the low of the range. Okay, it can go lower, yeah. But meanwhile, it's paying 3.4% dividend. It's not going to cut its dividend. So at some point, and we own this, our managed account, so I have to tell you right that we do own this. I don't see why. I think it's been overdone. It was, what, $65, $66 a share, and now it's here $57 and went down that much in, what, 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks? You might want to wait, Art, until it does start to move up a little bit before you buy.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't know where the bottom is exactly. Walmart, everybody, WMT.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Art. I appreciate the call. Let's talk to Mike in San Francisco. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Steve. Good.
Thanks for calling.
I had a question about GE's shareholder offering for Synchrony Financial.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious if you had an opinion on that.
Well, you're going to get a separate company. I had an email about this, and I haven't really looked it up and really gotten into it. But they're spinning off part of their mortgage business, a big chunk of it anyways, if I remember right. And they're going to have a separate company, so you're going to have a separate stock. Personally, if you bought GE for GE, I probably wouldn't hold on to the other stock because we don't know much about it yet. We don't know. Not going to be. We have to take a look at whatever they split off. We have to take a look at what's the earnings for that company, and it's a mortgage company. So, do you want to own a mortgage company? Because when you have GE, you know, that's not a mortgage company. GE is more than that. So my personal opinion is I'd probably, you don't have any say over it. They're going to spin it off, but I'd probably sell it and just hold on to my GE. That's what I would do.
Okay. Yeah, the way they wrote the details of the prospectus, it seems a little convoluted, in my opinion. And I kind of like GE for the dividend.
Yeah, I'd keep the GE. What I would do. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Mike.
Okay. Thanks.
Let's go to Stefan in Morgan Hill. How you doing, Stefan? Oh, he dropped off. I'm sorry. Why don't we go to Robbie, who's in Fremont? How you doing, Robbie?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to hear your thoughts about SKX Skechers.
Oh, that's
Skechers.
Yes, Skechers. Didn't they have some bad numbers? I think they had some bad earnings numbers, didn't they?
Yeah,
I think their sales were disappointing, and they really took a hit. So they're still going to make money, $1.67 this year, and then they're going to make $2.18 next year. They still have pretty darn good growth, but this is what happens, Robbie, when you talk about a growth stock. I mean, this company's growing 25%, 30% a quarter in sales. Its earnings are going to grow 76% this year, then another 30%. But there were disappointment about this earnings report, and it went from $44 all the way down to $33 in one day before you could do anything about it. And that's what happens when you get growth stocks that disappoint a little bit. And that's the danger of these growth stocks. Of course, growth stocks also shoot up really high too. So there you got a lot of volatility. Do you own it, Robbie? Do you own the stock right now?
Yeah, I bought it on the drop.
Okay.
At around 31.60.
Okay. So now the question is it going to recover? Well, I think it should, because it still has really good growth and really good earnings. So you take a really close look at that report, which I have at the last earnings report, and see why they're having trouble keeping up their speed of growth. And if you think it's something that's probably not long-lasting, just a quarter or two, then you want to hold on to it and hope for it to bounce back. If it's something that competition is coming in or the sales are going down because they have a lot of competition, then I'd be a little bit more worried. Because
yeah, I think it's. They said it's mainly because of the currency issues was one of the things they mentioned, and some late uptake.
And then I would not worry about that so much. I would not worry about that so much, because that's going to be kind of a one-time thing. I think our currency is not going to continue rallying as much as it did in the last year. So it should calm down. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
And quickly, one more thing on Target. Do you have any?
TGT is a symbol. Skechers with SKX, everybody. Target is TGT. I kind of like Target because of the discounting. Except it's a little expensive. It's not cheap. It's not growing very fast because it's Target. Return equity is very good, but it's still on the higher end of its 5-year range PE. I don't, you got to be real careful because you're buying at the high end. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Dow Transports, Dow Theory. The Dow Theory is the transport part of the Dow Industrials. It's very closely related to the entire Dow stocks, the Dow 30. So if one goes down, it's usually followed by the next. And usually it's the transports that lead the way. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because the transports were down 2.8% today, whereas the Dow was down 0.3%. So there are the Dow transports leading the way back down. Well, what part of the transports are having trouble? Well, railroads, for one, they've had a really bad day today. JetBlue, UPS, all had pretty bad earnings. So there's that symbiotic relationship between the transports and the rest of the market. Think about it. If the economy is slowing down, that means delivery of goods slows down, inventory is brought down, therefore less transports, but also truck sales, auto sales is part of the transports, and those are doing very well. But you're really trying to get an idea of the underlying economy, and that's why transports usually lead, because you know, businesses ship less, you know, and if they ship less, transports earn less and do worse first. Now, the way to look at transports, if you were looking at a chart and you want to see how they were doing, is you can use IYT. That is the iShares Transportation Average. And you can see that it took a pretty big dump, but it has come off the lows. So this is just today's action after being at a new one-month high just the day before yesterday. So the question is this just a blip? This is the difficulty reading charts. Remember we were talking about the other indicator earlier that maybe the breadth of the market is showing you that the market's going to rally some more? Well, here is transports showing you that maybe they're having a little trouble now that had a big dump day. Why is that? Earnings were a problem. Maybe that's going to be a problem. Year to date, the transports are up 12%. I'm sorry, their transports are down 12%, where the Dow is down 4%, 0.4%. So the transports are down 12%, and the Dow Jones Industrial 30 is down 0.4%. Are the transports telling us something, that something's not right? It's hard to know, isn't it? Very difficult to know, but it's just an indicator going the other way. See how it's difficult? You got to base it on everything that you can think of. When you're on InvestTalk Insider, when you are, you have new opportunities to learn different things with concise, simplified reports written personally by Justin or myself. Important topics, annuities, wills, trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, updated ETF lists each month. And I issue a market forecast. Sign up for free. All you do is to be an insider is go to investtalk.com. Investtalk.com. There's two T's in there. And you can sign up.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. Real estate issues can be an important part of a retirement plan. To help its clients make the best possible choices, KPP Financial now has a licensed real estate agent on staff. To learn more about all of KPP's services and investment programs, go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
This is Max from San Diego. Big fan of the show. Listen to it every day on my commute home via podcast. So my question is, in currently looking to refinance, and I have either a 15 or a 30-year option. And the 15-year, in addition to the loan amortizing over half the amount of time saving interest, usually carries a lower interest rate. But given how cheap money is to borrow these days, I thought that I could do better by opting for the longer-term loan and taking that difference in monthly payment and investing it. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that, and I'll take your response on the air. Thanks. Great show. Bye.
I do think you can do better by investing because the money is so cheap. You know, if you do a 30-year mortgage, you get a very low rent loan amount. And even though the interest rate is lower on a 15-year mortgage, your monthly payment is higher on a 15-year mortgage than a 30, even though the interest rate's lower because you're paying off half the time. I do like having you pay off your mortgage. Try to think of your mortgage as another investment opportunity. Because every time you pay down that mortgage, that means you're building equity in that property. Besides, hopefully, the value going up. But even if it doesn't, even if it goes the same, every dollar you put down, you're bringing up your equity in the value. And it's a very steady equity. And in retirement, you don't want to have a mortgage rate. So I'm big on paying off the mortgage. But in the current environment, and if you're young, I do like investing the difference. But I still would put a little extra toward the mortgage every month. I just would. I've always done that myself. And it's always been feeling very comfortable to drive down that mortgage. Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It's InvestTalk 101 time, a lesson on everyday investing, cushioning the emergency fund, check, paid off debt, check, saved up cash reserves in a bank account, check, covered by insurance, check. Now that you've covered all the basics, just how should you invest the extra $5,000 or whatever it is that you have that you can now use to try to grow the money? What can you do? Maybe you start asking yourself some questions first. Should you invest in the stocks, or should you stay in mutual funds or ETFs? Should your investment be inserted in an IRA or a Roth IRA? Have you already maxed out the 401k? And should you buy bonds that pay good returns? How much risk do you want to take? Do you mind taking on the stock market risk? Should you make use of your employer's stock purchase plan if you have one? You got to ask all these questions. Maybe you need help asking them or figuring out what to ask. And then, of course, you can ask me those kinds of things, and I'll guide you there. And these are some of the ideas and questions that you need to know. You start slow when you come to investing, and you learn over time. And you never stop investing. Most people stop when the market's down, start back up when it's high, and then stop when it's low. Do you realize that's buying high and selling low? So the best way to do it is just never stop. Don't pay so much close attention to it every wiggle and waggle of the market, even over a year or two. Don't pay so close attention. Just invest in good, solid mutual funds or companies or ETFs, maybe to pay dividends and have some growth. I mean, it depends on your philosophy, how much risk you want to take, but just keep doing it. If you have questions, you want to talk about it more, send me a note. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. That's the email that comes directly to me. We thank you all who have voted so far on our straw poll. We're still taking your suggestions, and we're going to have a webinar on November 18th as to what topic you want us to talk about. So we want you to help decide that topic. You can take our instant survey, choose from our list, or write in your own idea if you like. Just go to investtalk.com. That's investtalk.com with two T's. Click on the Invest Talk tab, and then click on Webinar.
Why are earnings so important? What does that mean, earnings per share? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. If you haven't signed up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you're missing out on a lot of free information, useful lists and webinars too, and a new info sheet called Can You Afford That House? The 12 Costs of Home Ownership. It's easy and free to sign up. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down the page until you see Sign up for free to become an InvestTalk Insider.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. I had an email question from Jacqueline. Hi, Stephen, Justin, I really enjoy your show. I was wondering if you could talk about how to select an ETF, exchange-traded fund. Unlike stocks, they don't have valuation data. Do you just go by sector or market cap, past performance, expense ratio, tracking, or what do you use? How do you know? Do you look at the actual holdings? Actually, I do look at all the actual holdings in the ETFs we purchase, and it's based on what's going on with those that sector and the companies in that sector that whether you want to buy an ETF. Now, of course, you could buy a broad-based ETF for the whole market or just parts of the market. That's what ETFs do, and more ETFs are coming on board, so you get more and more slices of the market you can invest in. And sometimes, you know, of course, they have ETFs on precious metals and currencies, things and other commodities, things that don't go up and down with the market. So you can get some pretty good diversification if that's what you're after through ETFs. But if you're buying an ETF and a sliver of stocks, then you have to kind of look at the stocks, the underlying fundamentals of those stocks, and that's what you want to own. Tracking errors usually occur when they're leveraged. And I don't really recommend leveraged ETFs too often because of the errors. You think that they're tracking an underlying index, let's say, and it's 200% leverage. You know they don't own any of those stocks in that index. They have instruments that simulate or track it as best they can, but leverage it by two times. Well, my experience has been they don't track very well. Now, if you're in a long bear or a long bull market and you have two times index leverage, yeah, it'll work. It will work. It just, but when it's a choppy market, boy, the tracking error gets more extended and more off every day. So be careful there. Apple reported earnings after hours, beat earnings estimates. Not tremendously beat, but beat them. $51.5 billion in sales. They were looking for, you know, the experts were looking for, half a billion to a billion less than that. But profits soared 31%, by the way, just because you know. I mean, 31%. They were at $11.1 billion in a quarter. You know, Apple has about $205 billion in cash. 75% of that is overseas. There's a reason for that. So Piper Jaffray has a target price on this stock of much higher than it is, $172. And Apple's what, $114, something like that. Now, this was reported after hours, so we'll see how the stock does tomorrow. And just so you know, there are different parts. Bulk of their money comes from the Apple phone with a new phone that's coming out. We know that. But there is pretty darn good growth in their Apple Pay. It's one of the areas I really like for Apple is their Apple Pay. 75 more U.S. banks and financial institutions are now supporting Apple Pay, the biggest one being HSBC. So they're doing, you know, it's growing more and more and more. Kind of like that. Their fourth generation Apple TV is coming out. Their new iPad Pro is coming out. You know, the new, you know, the iWatch is, they don't separate all these different entities. Only the Apple phone do they separate. These others, they don't. Maybe they're trying to be a little bit secretive of which of these products, the phone, the watch, the pad, the computers, the Apple Pay, which one is doing the best. But you're seeing growth. iPad, they're trying to turn that around because sales of iPad has been going down. With their new iPad Pro, they're hoping that to turn around. So, and as I mentioned at the top of the hour, 90% of the S&P 500 earnings for this most recent quarter, 90% of the earnings comes from one company called Apple. And Apple stock is pretty cheap. It's pretty amazing to me how cheap it is based on their fundamentals. But it's the way it is. It's also one of the most expensive stocks in the world, or the most expensive stock in the world. Our hour's up. I hope it's been a good use of your time. A reminder, my new checkup date in the San Diego area. I'll be in La Jolla on December 2nd. You can research your hour. You can reserve your hour, I'm sorry, for with me on investtalk.com by clicking on schedule a meeting. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial. Thank you for listening, and I hope you can join us again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.